Last week, the cost to access space dropped dramatically, not for SpaceX, but for its biggest global competitor. This isn't just about rockets anymore. It's about a new industrial battleground being established 250 miles above our heads. So what does it mean for your business when China can suddenly launch and land an orbital-class rocket on command? The answer will redefine supply chains and manufacturing for the next decade. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, the focus is squarely on the commercialization of space, but not in the way you might think. We're moving beyond exploration and into industrialization. We'll be covering China's monumental leap forward in reusable rockets and what that means for Western launch dominance. We'll look at the revolution happening inside those rockets, with 3D printed engines slashing costs. And we'll explore the new factories being built in orbit, manufacturing everything from pharmaceuticals to human tissue.
It was a pivotal week. These are not incremental updates. They are foundational shifts creating new markets and threatening established ones. We'll connect the dots and give you the actionable intelligence you need.
Let's start with the biggest headline, Troy. For years, reusable rockets meant SpaceX. What changed on July 10th?
On July 10th, China successfully launched and then vertically landed the first stage booster of its new Long March 10B rocket. It performed a controlled descent and landed precisely on a floating recovery platform. This makes China the second nation to master orbital-class booster recovery. It's no coincidence that just a day later, JAXA in Japan also successfully tested its own smaller reusable prototype, achieving a 10-meter launch and precision landing. The race is officially on.
So the U.S. monopoly on this technology is over. Why is that a globally significant event right now?
Because it fundamentally changes the economics and geopolitics of space access. It signals that China now has a pathway to drastically reduce its launch costs, which is critical for its ambitions to deploy massive satellite constellations and land humans on the moon by 2030. This isn't a research project. It's an operational capability that directly challenges U.S. and European launch providers.
Okay, let's bring this down to the factory floor. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For aerospace and defense manufacturers, it's a direct competitive threat. A state-backed competitor with a dramatically lower cost structure will put immense pressure on the entire supply chain, from avionics to engines. It could also accelerate the development of Chinese satellite services, like imaging and communications, that compete with Western offerings.
What about trading companies and distributors? Where do they fit in?
They need to be incredibly vigilant about the emerging Chinese commercial space ecosystem. While sensitive technology is covered by strict export controls, a parallel supply chain for components, materials, and ground systems will grow rapidly. Western distributors must understand this new landscape to identify both risks and potential non-sensitive market opportunities, and to anticipate where their Chinese competitors will source their parts.
So, what's the immediate actionable insight for an executive listening today?
Re-evaluate your strategic sourcing and supply chain resilience for all aerospace-grade components. If you are a satellite operator, you may soon have lower-cost launch options, but they come with significant geopolitical risk. The key is to model the impact of a 30 to 40% drop in non-US launch costs over the next 5 years.
Cheaper launches are one thing, but the cost of the hardware is another. I saw a report that could be just as significant, manufacturing rocket engines with additive manufacturing. Tell me more.
That's right. A major breakthrough was announced on July 15th in using additive manufacturing, or 3D printing, to produce complex components for reusable rocket engines. Specifically, combustion chambers with intricate internal cooling channels were successfully fabricated from heat-resistant alloys like Inconel 718.
So we're not talking about plastic prototypes. These are flight-ready parts for one of the most extreme environments imaginable. What are the business metrics here?
The results are what matter. The process achieves up to a 25% weight reduction, a 5% increase in combustion efficiency, and, most importantly, it has the potential to cut manufacturing costs by up to 30% compared to traditional casting and machining.
A 30% cost reduction is transformative. What's the direct impact for U.S. and European manufacturers?
It's a disruptive event. For advanced manufacturers specializing in techniques like selective laser melting or SLM, it's a massive opportunity to become a critical supplier. For traditional firms, it's an existential threat.
If you cannot adopt and master additive manufacturing for high-performance superalloys, your business model is at risk of becoming obsolete in this sector.
And for trading companies, what's the new commodity they should be tracking?
High-purity, space-grade metal powders. The sourcing, qualification, and distribution of materials like Inconel 718, titanium, and other alloy powders is now a strategic, high-margin business. It's not just about the raw material, but also distributing the highly specialized printing machinery and providing the associated engineering and maintenance services.
So the actionable insight here is about capability.
Exactly. Executives in any high-performance manufacturing sector, aerospace, energy, medical devices, need to be aggressively investing in additive manufacturing talent and capital equipment. This technology is a gateway to the next generation of industrial production, and the learning curve is steep.
Okay, so we've established it's getting cheaper to build rockets and to launch them. Now, what are we doing once we get to orbit? There were two incredible stories this week about in-space manufacturing.
Indeed, and they point to the emergence of a new industrial domain. On July 17th, Varda Space Industries announced its Phase 1 microgravity drug manufacturing data. They confirmed that drug crystals grown in orbit showed over 20% improved uniformity and a 10% reduction in impurities.
Better crystals mean better drugs. What was the second development?
Auxilium Biotechnologies announced on July 9th that it had successfully bioprinted kidney and liver tissues aboard the International Space Station. In microgravity, the absence of sedimentation allows cells to form more complex and uniform 3D structures, which is nearly impossible to achieve on Earth.
This sounds like a paradigm shift for pharma and biotech. What are the specific implications for U.S. and European firms in those sectors?
It opens up an entirely new R&D and manufacturing platform. Companies can now design and create biological structures and pharmaceutical compounds that are physically unattainable on Earth. This is a profound competitive advantage. Early adopters who establish an in-orbit R&D program will lead the next generation of drug discovery and regenerative medicine.
What should trading companies and distributors know? This isn't a standard supply chain.
It's the birth of a new logistics sector, Earth to orbit to Earth. This requires specialized re-entry capsules, precision cold chain management for sensitive biologicals, and rapid ground transport from the landing zone to the laboratory. The regulatory side is also maturing. The U.S. government just introduced a new federal framework for space commerce certification, specifically targeting in-space manufacturing and commercial space stations, providing clarity for investors.
So what should executives be considering right now?
If your company is in pharmaceuticals, biotech, or advanced material science, you need to develop a space strategy. That means initiating pilot projects with companies like Varda or on government platforms. For logistics and technology firms, this last-mile delivery from orbit is a new, high-value market. It's time to plan for it.
All right, Troy, that was an incredibly dense week of developments. Let's distill it into our strategic summary. What are the three key takeaways for Western executives?
First, the era of a U.S.-dominated high-cost launch market is over. China's success with the Long March 10B introduces a formidable state-backed competitor that will drive down prices but also inject significant geopolitical risk into the space economy. Business strategies must now account for a multipolar space industry. Second, the manufacturing technology of the future is here now. Additive manufacturing is no longer a novelty. It is a core industrial process, delivering 30% cost reductions and superior performance for the most critical applications. If you are not deeply invested in this capability, you are falling behind. Third, and most forward-looking, space is officially a place of production. The validated successes in orbital drug and tissue manufacturing this week prove the business case. Space is a unique environment that enables the creation of products impossible to make on Earth. This opens up entirely new markets for high-value goods.
So the key actions? Reassess geopolitical risk in your supply chain, accelerate your investment in additive manufacturing, and begin exploring in-orbit R&D and production. Excellent insights, Troy. That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. We're here to cut through the noise and give you the strategic edge that turns technology headlines into business intelligence.
Thank you, Susie. The pace of innovation demands constant vigilance, and understanding the implications is paramount.
Join us again next week for your essential briefing. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you never miss an update.
Until then, stay informed and stay ahead.